It felt like, it feels like it needs something. It needs like a dun dun dun.
Right, or like a... Right. Needs like some sort of explosion, yeah. Like a...
Find a drop for this.
Yeah, this clearly is more work for Jeff. You're in the 06010 Focus. The most popular fantasy podcast show.
Aaron from Minneapolis is going to kick things off today on the podcast, Matthew. He writes in a world torn apart by political and economic upheaval.
Okay.
And by the way, where there's an earthquake every 5 minutes.
Oh.
You used to live in L.A.
I did.
Lots of people, lots of friends, family, just friends.
I've been in
L.A.
No family. My brother lives out there.
Okay.
My kid brother everybody, is
everybody
beautiful.
Fine.
Like Mimi.
Everybody fine with the big quake the other day?
They were all fine. I've lived through many earthquakes myself.
Yeah. Well, I'm sure you have.
It's scary.
Anyway, he wrote political and economic upheaval, and I'm also thinking the ground has been upheaving lately as well.
All right.
Anyway, we're blessed to have at least one American institution that can still be counted on. I can go to sleep tonight with knowing with absolute certainty that during tomorrow's podcast, Nate Ravitz will recount every single moment of Matt Daly's seventh inning appearance of a two-run loss. Yes, it's all Rockies all the time.
It's true.
I wasn't planning to recount Matt Daly's seventh inning appearance.
You love your Rockies, despite what one emailer thinks.
He gave up two walks.
Right.
I don't think there's really a takeaway here. I don't think there's a need to overanalyze Matt Daly in the seventh inning.
You sure? Two walks in the seventh inning during a loss isn't road to closerdom, as you believe?
No, it's not good. It's not good.
It is not
good. But it's the seventh inning. It's not like you pitched the fourth.
There you go.
It's much better. We also have this email here that came in from Michael in Milwaukee.
All right.
It says, Dear Nate, TMR, and Pod, Matthew Berry is without a doubt the true fantasy weasel.
Nature weasel.
Not only was he originally given the title, but in true weasel fashion, he's been trying to weasel out of the nickname ever since it was given to him. That's kind of clever.
Yeah.
Nate takes his high horse like a man and rides it proudly.
Okay.
No one likes the kid who tries to turn his nickname around on you.
It's not my nickname.
Nature weasel.
I am fully happy to and willing to embrace all of my failures.
Right.
And foibles.
Okay.
I've never claimed to be perfect. I'm not even close.
I was wrong.
Okay.
I am wrong.
Wrong.
Thank you,
Brock. Wrong.
Exactly. I was just dead wrong.
Exactly. In fact, when I've been really wrong about somebody like Barry Zito, in fact, I've willingly stepped up to my bet.
Well, it's very true. Nate Ravitz is the greatest fantasy analyst alive.
Greatest fantasy analyst alive.
But you're the weasel. You're much more weaselly than me.
Nature the weasel.
It was a night of the lefties last night, Matthew.
Yeah, shall we start with Barry Zito? Did you see what I did there?
Yeah, I saw what you did there.
Yeah.
What did you do there?
Well, by bringing in that drop,
yeah.
In addition to making fun of myself,
yeah.
And feeding your already massive ego.
Yeah, no question.
I dropped in a little mention that thanks to Barry Zito, because that's how you won that drop, is to the War by the Shore.
Oh, yeah, that's true.
You won that bet on the War by the Shore, yeah. Thanks to a surprisingly good performance from Barry Zito.
I think it was more surprisingly not terrible.
Surprisingly not terrible.
That particular year.
Well, it was one night, him versus Dave Bush.
Yeah.
And Dave Bush was more terrible than Barry Zito. But Barry Zito, all of a sudden, not completely horrific, especially last night.
Six scoreless innings, five strikeouts, one walk. He's owned in 16% of leagues, Matthew. I took a look at his upcoming schedule. His next starts at home against Atlanta. His next seven starts, four at home, the three on the road are at Dodgers, at the Marlins, at the Mets.
All good parks.
Seven pitchers' parks in his next seven starts.
That, kids, is a schedule.
Now, I will say this, and this was in his preseason profile that was written by either Tristan Cockcroft or Jason Gray, and I'm sorry, I don't know which one, that he has not actually shown a particularly favorable home road split the last couple of years.
Right.
He's had two of the last 3 years, it's been like a slight improvement at home versus on the road, and the other year he was much worse at home.
Right.
So, you know, I don't think it so much. I'm not sure it matters for standard leagues, I guess.
Right.
Do you think it does?
I don't think it does. I think he's an interesting guy. Here's the problem.
Okay.
If he had any other name, you wouldn't question it nearly as much.
It's just because of that 2008 season, basically.
Yeah, you know, and honestly, even though the 2008 season obviously was not very good at all,
right?
He's not been, you know, part of the problem is that he came in with such high expectations. He signed such a big, crazy deal,
right?
Like, if he was John Garland,
right?
You understand what? Like, if he was John Garland, like, you'd actually be excited about this run, and you wouldn't hold 2008 against him that much,
right?
You know what I'm saying? Like,
well, the problem is he's a fly ball pitcher that's not truly dominant.
Right.
But I will say this. You know, I was digging up some stats this morning. Sometime in the middle of last year, he saw a big strikeout bump, and he's now carried it through July, August, September, October, and into the beginning of this year. Obviously, at one start, doesn't really matter. So I don't know if that changed. If he's back to the 7.3, 7.5 strikeout per nine range,
right,
this could be a sub 4 ERA pitcher.
Right.
I think the only place it matters is if you're drafting this weekend in NL only or deep mixed. Because I
correct,
just don't think it matters much for ESPN standard leagues.
I agree, although I think he's a spot starter if you need him.
Okay.
Somewhat. I'm buying a little bit.
All right.
I mean, I'm not all in, but I'm buying a little.
But if you needed a pitcher in a standard league, Matthew, and let's say for the sake of argument, you needed a lefty.
Right.
Would you want Barry Zito or Dallas Braden?
Oh.
Who comes out of the gate last night.
Yeah.
After really not that great a spring. 7 innings, 10 strikeouts, 4 hits, only 1 walk. And Jason Gray was actually writing about Braden quite a bit this spring, liked him a lot.
Well,
I mean, the 10 strikeouts...
Shocking.
Yeah, I mean, generally speaking, that doesn't come out of nowhere, but sometimes it does.
I would probably choose Braden.
By the way, Braden's next two starts, both at home.
Right. I would probably choose Braden, because I think, let me put it this way, I think Zito has much less upside. I think
right,
what you're hoping for out of Zito is that he keeps this up and that he is serviceable to...
He's a 3.8 to 4 ERA pitcher.
Right. That he doesn't kill you, that he gets you some wins and maybe a few strikeouts.
And he's never going to be a good whip guy because
right,
he just walks too many guys.
Correct. But Braden's got a chance to be something, you know, fairly decent. All those
right,
Oakland guys do.
Right. Right.
So,
just by virtue of youth, he's got a chance to be better.
Right.
All right, Matthew. So you'd rather have Braden than Zito?
That is correct.
All right. Now, what if we add right-handers to the equation and we include Chris Young, who throws 6 scoreless innings yesterday? And what was interesting to me is 6 scoreless innings, and I'm going to use the air quotes here, only 86 pitches.
Right.
Because that's not really efficient, but it's really efficient for Chris Young.
Yeah, I mean, that's always been the issue with Chris Young, is the guy can't get out of the 5th or 6th inning because
right,
he just uses a lot of pitches.
Yep.
And when you can't get out of the 5th or 6th inning, and not, I mean, like, would pitch well for 5 or 6 innings, but
right,
the problem is that he just wasn't getting a lot of wins.
Well, especially in low scoring games that you're going to have at Petco Park.
Right.
It's really hard because,
yes,
you know, you're more likely to leave with a 1 or 2 run lead, and then you need your bullpen to preserve that for 4 innings.
I would actually still probably go with Chris Young
over Braden or Zito.
Yeah. I think that's how you rank him. Chris Young, Braden, Zito, as of right now.
And then I'll throw one other pitcher in the mix, even though I think he's probably 4th in that list. Ian Snell, 6 innings, 1 earned run, 4 strikeouts, 2 walks for the Mariners.
Hey, I want you to check this out. Hang on for a second while I roll up my pants here. Do you see this flesh wound right here? Do you see this flesh wound right here that
yeah,
I'm showing you, Nate?
Yeah. Battle scar?
No. That's from being burned by Ian Snell
really?
One too many times.
Really?
Yeah, yeah.
It's not going to happen again.
You know what? Never say never, because Lord knows I'm a sucker. Witness
right,
me and Francisco Liriano.
Right.
You know, there's some guys, but Ian Snell is one of those guys that's sort of been tantalizing because of the strikeout, right? And I was all in last year because, you know, he had such a good World Baseball Classic, and then
right,
did
boy,
nothing.
That never not.
Yeah, boy.
Boy, the people.
Dice K.
Well,
Ian
that was
Snell.
You and Simmons talking about
right,
that on the BS report.
I didn't believe in Dice K,
no,
but as, yeah, Simmons did. But a lot of people got sucked in by the World Baseball
that's,
Classic.
This is factually correct.
Some people even bought into Big Fat Bartolo Colon.
Yeah?
Not me, thank God. I'm on to his big
way,
fat ways.
Ian Snell's next starts at Texas, so even if you want to buy into him, please, for the love of everything holy, please delay your love for another week.
So, anyway, listen, it would not surprise me if Ian Snell had a good year, especially pitching for the Mariners in Safeco. You know, first full year with the team.
Right.
Kind of something to prove. So it wouldn't surprise me if he had a good year.
Okay.
What would surprise me if he ever wound up on my roster?
And had a good year in the same year.
Correct.
Right? Like both those things combined.
Yes.
Matthew, moving on here. John Rausch, two strikeouts.
Yep.
Gets the save in the ninth inning. Matt Guerrier pitched the eighth.
I watched my beloved Halos go down like mice.
So, you know, so far so good.
Yeah, look decent.
No real conclusion to draw here, but so far so good.
Well, certainly you can say you have to be more confident. I'll ask you this. Rest of the year, who are you more confident in, John Rausch or Mike Gonzalez, who blew the save yesterday in spectacular fashion? Orioles had a chance at stealing their opener against the Tampa Bay Rays, and Mr. Gonzalez made sure that didn't happen.
Yeah.
So going forward, who would you rather have?
I really don't know. gun in my head, I guess Rausch.
Yeah, me too.
Because he's got they could both lose their jobs.
Right.
But Rausch will probably at least be healthy and help you. Whereas, you know what I mean, Gonzalez, until last year, has kind of always missed a lot of time.
Correct.
I think Gonzalez will keep his job. I just don't think there's guys behind him that the Orioles are going to be in any hurry to replace him with.
What? Mr. Jim Johnson, 10 saves last year with an ERA, what, under 8?
Yeah, but he's not a closer skills guy, you know?
No, he's not. I'm kidding.
So
I will say there's a dark horse. I mean, I think if Gonzalez loses his job, I think Johnson's the first guy to get a crack at it.
Okay.
He's the guy last year. But I will give you a dark horse.
Okay.
And I mentioned this in Love Hate, but currently on the DL, Koji Uehara.
Yeah, I'm not buying it. I heard all that.
Closer in Japan.
I heard that hype all spring. I'm not buying it.
All right. That's fine.
You can throw it out there.
Listen, guy was a closer in Japan. They're moving him from a starter to reliever. He's on the DL now. He's been on the DL before. But if you're looking like a deep sleeper for a guy that could get some saves, there's a guy.
So, Matthew, our friend Mike Polakoff was bugging me this morning. What's the deal with Mike Napoli?
What is the deal with Mike Napoli?
Well, now it's
two games.
Now it's two games. So we can't poo-poo this quite as much as we did after one game. And there was an article that came out, I believe it was in the Los Angeles, the LA Times, about basically the defense. And Mike Scioscia says, yeah, Mathis is going to play more.
Yeah. Okay. I'm
still not worried.
Mike Napoli is going to end up the year with 20 home runs. He may not get nearly as many RBIs as we hope. I still think there's a chance that you will see him DH some.
He DH'd 18 games last year. So probably, he won't get probably significantly more than that, but he could get 18 again.
Yeah, I think you could see him get up to like 30. Keep in mind, I mean, Hideki Matsui is what, 700 years old? I think there's a chance actually that they believe it, which I think is insane, but I've heard talk they actually want to play Matsui a little bit in the outfield, which I find amazing to me.
He's 35 years old.
Whatever. He looks 47.
He's young and spry. He's young and spry.
He is not even.
Not even making the obvious joke here, but he's young and spry, 35 years old.
I'll make it. The guy's younger than me, and I'm younger and
spryer
than him.
Your starting center fielder, by the way, is 34 years old, so it's really not.
Yeah, but Torrey Hunter's in great shape.
Your starting right fielder is 36 years old. I mean, he's not. He's really not that old. He just had the leg problems two years ago.
Matsui has some injury risk, as does Juan Rivera, the left fielder. So I think you could see, and just, you know, basic giving, you know, guys day rests, you know, day games after night games, that sort of thing. I think you could see Napoli DH 30 games
this
year.
Jeff, you know, defense is all well and good.
Right.
But Scioscia eventually is going to get tired of the 0-for-4s with 3 strikeouts for Jeff Mathis.
That's correct.
It's just going to happen.
You know,
the guy's a 200 career hitter and 750 major league at-bats.
Right. He's not a good... I mean, the weird thing is he absolutely crushed it last year in the playoffs.
Yeah.
Like, you know, just hit amazingly well. But
for the six games they were in the playoffs or whatever.
I'll tell you this. If some guy's freaking out, make a low ball offer on Mike Napoli.
Yeah.
I promise you this guy's gonna hit 275 and 20 home runs.
I will say the problem is if you're in an ESPN Standard League with daily moves and you're trying to maximize value, Napoli's tough. They're going to play a lot of late night games. And even if you have the time to wait around and see if he's in the lineup, obviously you're not going to have great options by the time their lineup is set. So
yeah, that's true. Right. That is very true. He's not a guy that makes tons of sense in standard ESPN leagues where it's only 10 teams and you only got to play one catcher. There might be 10 catches.
I mean, we
out
would
there.
Have said before the year he was clearly a top 10 guy.
Right.
And he might still be, but the format certainly doesn't do him any favors.
That's true. I will say this. I believe he finishes the year on the top 10 player among catchers in the player radar.
I think you're probably right about that. Anything else for you from the news or from last night?
One little thing.
Okay.
Did you see who got the win last night for the New York Yankees? Who the winning pitcher was?
I didn't notice this, actually.
Why don't you check it out? Why don't you go? I'll wait.
Oh, Aceves.
Yeah, Alfredo Aceves.
Okay.
Do you know what Alfredo Aceves did last year?
Yeah, remind me.
10 wins.
Yep.
Against only one loss. A 1.01 whip, a 3.54 ERA, and 84 innings.
Yep.
Double-digit wins last year.
Yep.
He's already got one win now. I believe that, especially because of the way Girardi uses his bullpen, and I believe because the Yankees are such a potent offense that, you know, they can never be counted out of most games.
Right.
That there are certain guys, middle relievers, that you can sort of count on to vulture wins. I would be...
He's the new Scott Shields, is what you're saying.
Yeah. I'm just saying, here's a guy that's available in... He's owned in 1.6% of leagues. He's a guy who had double-digit wins last year. He's already got one win this year. I will bet you anything he finishes the year with at least 7 wins.
Bet me anything?
Well, sure.
What do you want?
What do you want? A night with Pod Vader? Done.
Your paycheck against mine. Pod Vader, he said anything. Is he going to weasel his way out of this one?
Interesting.
Sure. Sure. Will you take on the tax implications?
What do you say, Pod? Nah, we don't have to bet on this.
No,
it's a good...
I'm happy to put that on the board.
I just think... No, I wouldn't put it because I think there's a very good chance he does that.
Yeah. By the way, my paycheck against yours. You're assuming I'm getting a paycheck. Who
Ooh,
knows?
Wow, this could be.
Watch me get myself fired.
It could be a real screwing.
Yeah.
I like the call. I think AL only are really deep mix though. I mean, it's not like you can.
Yeah. Or I will say this: like if you're in an ESPN Standard League, there you have moves limits and sometimes you have starts limits.
Right.
A lot of leagues have. Limits on starts. This is a guy that I think you can just plug in any day. You know, if you're saving starts,
right,
kind of thing, or like you don't have guys going.
Yeah.
This is a guy that's not going to hurt you.
Yeah.
That's got a good chance at a win anytime he pitches.
He averaged almost 2 innings per appearance last year. So obviously that helps him out. He's coming in there and tie games.
Girardi trusts him a lot, and why wouldn't you?
I completely buy it.
Yeah.
Fantasy Focus at ESPNRadio.com.
Well, I said it before, and I'm going to say it again.
Fantasy Focus at ESPNRadio.com.
I find a little weird, I have to ask twice.
Burr.
You know, the problem is, we did 2 podcasts yesterday, baseball and football.
Indeed.
And Pod Vader, he's already handed me one email that is for football. That if I read it, nobody that only listens to the baseball podcast is going to understand.
Typical.
So, but we'll set that aside for the football podcast. And then, did we talk about Ted Koppel on the baseball show yesterday or the football show?
I
think that was also the football show.
I can't remember.
Yeah, that's
I don't
the
remember
problem
what
with
the...
doing 2 pods in a day. Whatever.
If you want to know about
Ted Koppel, go listen to the football podcast. If it wasn't on the baseball show,
What was the thing about Ted Koppel?
Well. Because it was in a new name game drop. So it was probably baseball, right? Okay. Or was it an old name game drop? You know, that's what, I think it was an old name game drop we hadn't heard in a while, Pod.
Correct. It was in a name game drop.
Whatever. It was a name game drop where we said something about Ted Koppel and neither you nor I could remember.
Right.
So he says, he forgets that, this is from Jesse in New Hampshire, I forget the podcast, but someone was going to be visiting Syracuse University and wanted to turn the TMR photo into a bizarro TMR photo on the Wall of Fame.
Oh, yeah.
Was it a Koppel photo, maybe, that he wanted to turn into a TMR photo? Is your photo up there?
Yeah. No, there's the Syracuse University, the Newhouse School of...
It's got a Wall of Fame?
It's got a Wall of Fame. I went to Syracuse, I'm a graduate, and I went to the Newhouse School, which is the public communication school. And there's a Wall of Fame. And I'm actually on that Wall of Fame because of my screenwriting career, believe it or not.
Okay.
And so it's me. There's a bunch of people. And there's, you know, guys that are like editors of newspapers and that have done great things and all sorts of, not that I was great, but whatever.
Carmelo Anthony, right.
Yeah, right. But there's actually like some legitimate, like real stars.
Right.
And guys, among them, Ted Koppel, Bob Costas, Len Berman, you know, so, you know, guys like that. So there's like a lot of very famous sports cards. For Steve Croft from 60 Minutes is one of them. I can't, Marv Albert.
Okay.
Another guy.
Oh, there you go.
So yeah, no, a lot of very famous, especially broadcast journalist, Sean McDonough, our ESPN colleague, Sean McDonough.
Alright.
So whatever. Anyway.
Alright, let's get to some actual emails. This one is from, he didn't sign his name to it, but according to his email, it's XX Patrick.
Oh.
And then he's got some numbers and then an XX again. So this is a 4X Patrick. I don't know. Can we read a 4X email?
I think it's one of two things. I think either Patrick is very, very large.
Okay.
Or he's in the adult industry.
Either way, I think we should read the email.
All right.
I would like to thank international recording superstar Eric Hutchinson for the facelift my golf game has received.
Wow.
Concentrating on shots is much easier while singing fantasy focus.
Can I tell you something? Like, I was listening to the podcast last night.
Yeah.
And.
Now, why were you doing that? We just had a discussion the other day about how you don't listen to the show.
I do, but then you said to me yesterday, you thought yesterday's podcast was particularly good.
I thought
good.
It was pretty good. I sort of thought we hit our groove. Pod right. Vader, what do you think? He's like, you don't
I
have
I think they're
groove.
All award winners.
They're all what?
They're award all winners? Award winners.
Okay,
thank you,
enough.
Pod. Very, very supportive.
Yeah.
So I thought I'd check it out. And I actually listened to the theme like three times in a row. I went and rewound
so
and I'm just like, ah, you know?
Yeah.
Fantasy. 06010.
All right. I need some insight into my catcher situation. Standard 5x5 mixed league. I've drafted Mike Napoli and Matt Wieters. With Napoli sharing so much time with Mathis, would picking up AJ Pierzynski be a bad idea?
No, I don't think so. I think it depends on what you need. I will tell you this. I'm telling you, like, it's one of those things that's going to drive you nuts. So I think with Napoli, you just have to leave him in there and just ignore it.
Right.
I believe at the end of the year, Napoli's going to wind up with 20 home runs, 275 average.
Right.
Pierzynski will wind up with a better average and 10 home runs. So I think it depends on what you
need.
Oh, he's
not going to hit only 10 home runs. I don't necessarily quibble with the notion that Napoli will be the better guy. I think they're both top 10 guys.
Mm-hmm.
But he's not going to hit only 10 home runs.
What do you think he hits?
15.
Maybe it's 12.
I mean, it's a good ballpark. Hey, all right, he hit 13 the last 2 years, 14 the year before that. So he's been a 13-14 homer guy.
Right.
All right, so, but 10's a little on the low side.
Fine. Excuse me for being down on AJ Pierzynski.
All right.
Well, whatever. Here's the thing. Power with Napoli, you get a better average with Pierzynski. You'll buy that?
Yeah, I'll buy that. I don't know I don't know that you get that much a better average with Pierzynski. He did hit 300 last year, but 281 the year before that, 263 the year before that. So if Napoli's going to be 275.
I think Pierzynski is the safer bet for a better average.
I would agree with that. Tony in the thumb on Michigan. You know, Michigan kind of looks like a hand.
Five lakes?
Well, no. It kind of looks like a hand, like on a map. Like if you live in Michigan, people say, well, where are you from? They'll hold up the hand. And the point where. The point on the hand where. It's just the thing they do.
I don't live in Michigan.
I didn't make it up. Gentlemen and Pod Vader. I was ecstatic last week to hear you read a fellow listener's The Board Bets. For years now, my league has had a The Board Bets as well.
Oh.
Sure.
Yeah.
And I'm sure they were called The Board.
Yeah.
We'd be honored to hear your opinions on our predictions. Carlos Quentin will finish the season with a 275 average and 30 home runs.
I agree with that.
I disagree with that.
I don't know that I strongly agree with it, but I believe I'm high on Quentin. Guy got really unlucky last year and obviously injured. Look, guy needs to stay healthy. The 30 homer power isn't the question. The average is the question.
The average is the question. If he plays,
assuming he stays healthy.
If he plays 130 games or so, he will hit 30 home runs.
Right.
I think the 275 is not, it's not a stretch. He could do it, but right. I would guess not.
I am betting on Carlos Quentin this year.
All right.
So I would say yes, I agree with that.
Who will finish the season with more home runs, Paul Konerko or Jay Bruce?
Jay Bruce.
Yeah, I'd probably say Konerko in the 27-28 range and Bruce just slightly above that.
Right. Bruce 31-32, something like that.
Higher on the player rater, Danks or Scherzer?
Scherzer.
Really?
Yeah.
I would say Danks, not close.
Really? I think it's close. Like, I wouldn't be surprised if Danks is higher, but I definitely don't think it's, like, not close. You willing to put, like, a 10 pitcher spread?
I don't know what the player rater.
Forget the numbers. I'm just saying 10 pitcher spread.
Among all pitchers or starting pitchers?
Starting pitchers.
Yeah, what the heck?
All right. John Danks has to finish 10 pitchers higher
on
the player rater than Max Scherzer among starting pitchers.
He will do that.
I say he won't.
Put it on the board.
Put it on the board.
There you go. Come on, Mad Max.
This is a bizarre one. Alex Rios, Alexi Ramirez, and Gordon Beckham will hit a combined 57 home runs. I say over.
I say over, too.
All right. There you go.
Very White Sox-centric.
Yeah, he actually said, I wasn't until writing this email I realized all bets involve White Sox players, which makes no sense because one of these guys is a Reds fan and the other one's a Tigers fan from the Thumb in Michigan.
From the Thumb in Michigan. One of my big things this whole preseason was I actually really like the White Sox a lot.
Yeah.
Overall, from a fantasy perspective, I think there's value all over the White Sox.
Brandon in Cincinnati says, with young pitchers being sent down to the minors and rotations being set, what young pitchers do you like that are still in the minors to have an impact? Obviously, there's Strasburg, but what do you think about guys like Chris Tillman, Derek Holland, Trevor Cahill, Aroldis Chapman, and anyone else you like?
I like Tillman for Baltimore. He barely missed out on making the rotation there.
Okay.
So I like Tillman a lot, still very, very young. I think you have to like Aroldis Chapman. He's not going to be in the minors for long.
Right.
Cahill's the next interesting guy to me. Again, anyone that gets to pitch in Oakland, and I think he's got, of the pitchers, he's also got another shot at opportunity with Dukeshire and Sheets in the rotation there for Oakland.
Right.
Derek Holland, not a huge fan. I know people like him.
I'm with you. I don't see it.
Never been a big guy for him, and he's a Rangers pitcher. You know, I know Mike Maddox has changed a lot there, but still. And who was the last guy?
He said Tillman, Holland, Cahill, and Chapman.
Okay, so we got them all. Listen, the
I don't know that we got them all, but
Whatever the guys he listed. I mean, in terms of pitchers that starting pitchers. I mean, I think you'll see Drew Storen fairly soon.
Yeah, he's talking about. I think he's talking
starting,
about starting pitchers.
I mean, there's the Travis Wood, the kid from Cincinnati.
Yeah.
Also a highly touted prospect, got beat out by Leak for the Cincinnati fifth spot.
Right.
And Chapman's going to be there too. But if they trade Arroyo, which I think they might. If they trade Arroyo and Harang, if they fall out of it this year, which I think both guys could be gone.
Yeah, I mean, I would say I would add Daniel Hudson of the White Sox.
Yes.
I would say no on Madison Bumgarner if you're thinking that. I'm looking through Jason Gray's top 100 list, and I don't want to reveal all the names because you should go in and check it out.
Right.
But I actually don't think this is going to be a particularly good year for that sort of thing.
I don't disagree with you.
You know, there's the Strasburg, obviously, but I don't think there's a Tommy Hansen type guy this year, unless it's Strasburg.
I will say, however, that, I mean, if you're looking, I mean, there's a lot of guys. To me, it's actually more the guys on the DL.
Yeah.
Eric Bedard. Gil Mesh threw a great game, a great rehab start the other day. I think 9 strikeouts in 5 innings.
Yeah.
Supposed to start, I think, Sunday against the Red Sox this week. Bedard looks good on pace for June. So, I mean, I think there's, like, more guys like that. Mark Repchinski.
Yeah, Repchinski.
Toronto, Repchinski, that I like a lot. So,
Mike says...
It's actually Repchinski, I believe.
Zep? Okay.
Yeah, even though it starts with an R.
Mike says, guys, I was offered Jason Hayward for Jonathan Papelbon in a Dynasty League. I would still have Broxton, Valverde, and Ardsma for closers. My outfield consists of Braun, Granderson, Hamilton, Bourbon, and Beltran.
I would do that in a heartbeat.
I would, too.
Heartbeat. And by the way, I mean, obviously you have the closers and you don't need it, you know, so it's even better for you, but even more so, but saves are so,
We don't know the size of the league, so
It's hard to say, but again, like, just think about this time last year, like Andrew Bailey,
And Papelbon showed some cracks last year.
Right, yes he did.
And you don't know how long he's going to be in Boston.
Because, correct, they got the Bard.
Yeah, so
I would do that trade, I would do that in a New York second.
I agree with you. Tony from Jacksonville says, is it too early to dub Hayward the Kraken since he's going to be a beast of epic proportions?
Oh, I like this. Hayward does need a nickname.
I've tried for 2 years to get people to start calling Hamilton Piggy, but that hasn't caught on yet.
Yeah, and it won't.
No.
Because that's terrible.
Yeah. So the Kraken, what do you think?
I like it.
Kraken.
Unleash the Kraken!
Unleash the Kraken. I could go with it.
Yeah, it's from Clash of the Titans if people don't get the reference. But I like that for Jason Hayward.
Right.
I say we dub him the Kraken. What was the guy that wrote that email?
Let's give him credit. Tony from Jacksonville, Florida.
Tony from Jacksonville, Florida. I hereby dub Jason Hayward the Kraken.
Okay.
So the Braves on the NL East need to unleash the Kraken.
It felt like, it feels like it needs something. It needs like a dun dun dun.
Right, or like
that. Right.
Needs like some sort of explosion, yeah. Like the Kraken is coming through.
Find a drop for this.
Yeah, this clearly is more work for Jay.
All right. John in Minneapolis says, 16-team, 5x5, head-to-head league. I severely underestimated how shallow the outfield was on auction day. Well, you know what, John in Minneapolis? You didn't listen to us all preseason.
Yeah.
Because we harped on this time and again. We
ad nauseum.
For 10-team leagues.
Oh, my God. Ad nauseum.
16-team leagues.
Ad nauseum. And by the way, not only did you not listen, you didn't read, because it was a focal point of my draft day manifesto.
I wonder if you even downloaded.
Yeah. How did you find this email address?
But you know what? I'm going to take mercy on you.
Ugh.
He says...
Good God. We talked about it so much, Nate. And it was throughout all my pieces that I wrote
no
in the preseason.
You have no excuse for not having outfielders this
year. Yes.
You should have outfielders out the wazoo.
Yes. Your wazoo should be full.
Yes.
And then there should be outfielders waiting to get into the wazoo.
Exactly. All right. With 16 teams, decent players in the waiver don't really exist, and if they do, they get picked up immediately. So I can't afford to be wrong here. The best outfielders are Rick Ankiel. At least he's a starter.
Right.
Kosuke Fukudomi, same deal. John Bowker, Carlos Guillen, or Lance Nix. Should I drop Corey Hart for any of these guys or just suck it up for now? Now, Hart was in the lineup last night.
And stole a base.
Well, there you go.
I
don't know that I'd drop Hart for any of those guys.
Right. If someone went on the DL or something like that, like Ankiel, which is always a chance, Bowker to me has the most upside of that list.
He does, but again, you know, not in the lineup last night.
Right.
After starting on opening day, and they are going to work a bunch of guys in there. He could eventually get that job full-time.
The thing about Ankiel, a batting average is obviously, but gives you power in a 16-team league.
Yeah.
That might be decent. And, I mean, the thing about Ankiel is that he has the reason he came to Kansas City was he was basically guaranteed a starter's job.
Right.
He had other offers, but he didn't want to like be a bench guy or a platoon guy. Like he took,
including other offers, including from this podcast.
Yes. Yeah. But we said we're only going to use you on Thursdays.
Right. So it's like I need to be an everyday guy. I'm like, sorry, we got a couple everyday guys. What do you want me to do?
By the way, Pod Vader, just speaking of guests, it just reminded me of players on the guest. Can you please put in a request for our new colleague, ESPN and ESPNBoston.com's Kurt Schilling, who is a huge fantasy player from what we understand?
You would understand incorrectly.
All right.
Yeah,
there you go.
So I heard he's a huge fantasy guy. Would love to have him on.
By the way, Matthew, I mean,
if you listen to Kurt Schilling's interview on Baseball Today, which I believe was last week.
Okay.
Oh, he's already been on Baseball Today?
Of course.
He mentioned how he played fantasy for the first time ever last year, and he's done. So
he was.
So that's a huge fantasy.
I can say with a great deal of certainty he was talking about fantasy baseball and not fantasy in general.
Okay.
So.
Yeah.
But anyway, having said that, in your words, Matthew, he's not sexy, but for a 16-team league, Kosuke Fukudomi scored 79 runs each of the last 2 years.
Yeah.
He's 10-plus homers. You know, not flashy, but going to play, going to fill out those counting categories for you a little bit. So, you know.
Yeah, I mean, I've never liked Fukudomi, but in a 16-team league, you're right. He is not sexy.
If he's 75-plus runs.
Yeah, he'll for a decent average.
Yeah.
Although it always tends to go down.
Well,
it seems like
I don't know that he'll hit for a decent average. 2 years, he's been a .259 guy. So.
Yeah. He always starts. It's weird. He always starts out like red hot, and you look at the month, he goes
but
down.
But he's probably not going to be worse than Ankiel in that category.
Correct.
So anyway, yeah, you're probably right about it being Ankiel, but we're sticking with Corey Hart for now, right?
Yes.
All right, there you go, Matthew. How are your fantasy teams doing?
My fantasy awesome.
Really?
It's fantastic, except for the 20-team league where I've got the 54 ERA. Thanks, Nick Massett.
It's not like tout years 09 for you so far?
No, my tout team is really good,
But last year.
Last year was brutal.
Much.
No, I still need my pitching to turn around in tout. But, you know, I have Beckett and Verlander, neither of whom started out great. But I think they'll ultimately be fine. And Gilmesh is looking hot. Hey, I want to read this real quickly. I'll just read this real quickly.
Okay.
Go ahead. The guy said, anyway, one of the guys that listens to the podcast is a finalist for the Golf Digest U.S. Open Challenge. This pits an average golfer against three celebrity golfers at the U.S. Open course the week before the tournament. Online voting will determine which of the five finalists that get to play in a foursome with Drew Brees, Mark Wahlberg, and Wayne Gretzky.
Don't read his name.
Okay. Why not?
because that way we can send the power of the pod arbitrarily and not necessarily vote for this guy. I'm totally against this, so.
I know. You're being a golf blocker.
I'm totally against this.
Anyway,
I'm totally against people harassing us through social media and then getting the power of the podcast behind them.
Well, just because he's a longtime fan, he knows how much we helped the Wildcat Coaster last year in the Stanford Gingerbread
House.
This is
true.
Although he ended up losing in a crazy...
It was also on the football show, so you could argue it never happened.
Some jerk manipulated the voting on both sides of it.
Some jerk, even bigger jerks than us.
Even bigger jerks than us. Right. No, he emailed me. He was all proud of himself.
Yeah, I'm just whatever.
Like, yeah, that guy's never come
better,
to the podcast.
Better manipulation than our audience.
Anyway, you can go to gdopencontest.com and register their vote. Guy's name is Scott.
No, it's not. His name is Carl. Carl, Carl, Carl.
All right. There you go, Scott. There you go. I've helped you out. I've done my good deed for the day. And with that, for Pod, for Nate, and for Alfredo, how do you pronounce his name?
I don't know. I'm still mad about Carl.
Acevedo? Yeah. Acevedo. Whatever. Peace out.
The theme song for the Fantasy Focus was created and performed by Eric Hutchinson. Check out more of his music at erichutchinson.com. Thank you for listening to the Fantasy Focus. For more baseball talk, be sure to check out Baseball Tonight, Monday through Thursday at 7 p.m. Eastern on ESPN Radio and ESPNRadio.com.